come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
In Matthew 24:15, Jesus said to his disciples, "The day is coming when you will see what Daniel the prophet spoke about. Whoever reads, let him understand." The following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible study titled Daniel, A Man of Purpose, Prayer, and Prophecy, a teaching through the historical and prophetic book of Daniel. More information is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com/women's ministry.
Okay, are we ready to continue worshiping him with our scripture verse? Here we go. I praise and worship the Most High and honor the one who lives forever. His rule is everlasting, and his kingdom is eternal. All the people of the earth are nothing compared to him. Daniel 4, verses 34b through 35a NLT. Here we go again. Ready? Let's worship him. I praised and worship the Most High and honor the one who lives forever. His rule is everlasting, and his kingdom is eternal. All the people of the earth are nothing compared to him. Daniel 4, verses 34b through 35a NLT.
Good job. And we have someone else that's going to be doing something, or we're not going to do that other verse, okay?
Yeah, we're not doing our Dare to Be a Daniel because I asked Bill to, if he would sing a song for us this morning that ties together with our lesson. So we get the joy of listening to Bill sing to us. And by the way, it's 2:22:22. Just reminding you when I saw it up there. So yes, so Bill's going to just lead us in this.
And it's Kim's birthday in the office today, 2:22:22.
When it's all been said and done, there is just one thing that matters, that I do my best to live for truth, that I live my life for you. When it's all been said and done, all my treasures will mean nothing. Only what I've done for love's reward will stand the test of time. Lord, Lord, your mercy is so great, that you look beyond our weakness and find pure as gold in miry clay, making sinners into saints. I will always sing your praise here on earth and ever after, for you've shown me heavens, my true home, when it's all been said and done. You're my life when life is gone. So when it's all been said and done, there is just one thing that matters. Did I do my best to live for you? Did I live my life for you? Did I do my best to live for truth? Did I live my life for you? Lord, I'll live my life for you.
I don't know why I'm crying. It just is. It is a beautiful song, but what it speaks about is how we finish. How we finish. When it's all been said and done, the only thing that really matters is, did I do my best? Lord Jesus, as we just get into your word, Father, I thank you for this lesson today, Lord, the lesson of finishing well, and the lesson that no one's beyond your reach. I thank you, Father, that you've given us your word for us to understand and for us to understand who you are and to just know that you're in the midst of us, Lord. And so I thank you, Father. I pray, Father, for the evidence of your Holy Spirit that's already here. Lord, let us hear from you. Let us hear you speak to us, Lord. You have sent your Holy Spirit to teach us, and I know that you will do an amazing job of teaching us what you have for us today. So we thank you, Lord, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. This chapter that we're in right now deals with the last 8 years of Nebuchadnezzar's life. It deals with the last 8 years of Nebuchadnezzar's life. It's the story of pride, humiliation, and surrender. It's the picture of salvation. We'll see that Nebuchadnezzar showed the works and are the evidence of repentance. But we won't get to that until the very last of it. We cannot have salvation without repentance. And I know that that is something that the world does not want to hear right now. They don't want to hear that you're doing something wrong and you need to stop doing it and you need to confess it and grow from that and turn from it and move on. It's the king's, this particular chapter is the king's testimony. It's the last view we have of Nebuchadnezzar, and it's proof that we are never to give up on anyone that we're praying for, because God reaches out and touches every single soul everywhere. Everybody has chance after 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 chance. If there's breath, we have a chance. to come to Jesus. So we want to make sure that we don't give up on anyone. His testimony reminds us of the psalmist that says in Psalm 66:16, "Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will declare what he has done for my soul." That's our chapter today. In fact, in verses 1 through 3, it sounds like the psalmist, doesn't it? It sounds like the psalmist has written this when he says that that it's to declare the signs and the wonders that the Most High God has worked for me. And so this is a document. This was written by Nebuchadnezzar. And when I read something and it said that's the only chapter in the book that was written by a pagan, but you know what? It wasn't written by a pagan. It was written by a Gentile, but by the end of this, when it was written, he was no longer a pagan. He had already given his life over to God. And so he's writing as one who is under God's covering. It's a state document. It's one of the few such state documents to be found in the Word of God. Babylon was the starting point of human idolatry and pagan worship. It's nothing short of a miracle that such a witness is there today for us to see. Paul would later say in Acts 14, 16, and 17 that in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Never God in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness. And remember why Daniel and the other guys were there. They were there for the preservation of the people of God. So we all have that purpose to be here. And this witness for God was not from a Hebrew prophet, but from a Gentile king who was raised in the middle of pagan idolatry. During Israel's captivity, God took from the palace in Babylon, through the decree of King Nebuchadnezzar, a testimony to his sovereignty and his saving grace. He went right to the top of everything, and he made it so sure that everyone heard. Everyone heard. The first thing that Nebuchadnezzar would do is send out this edict to every person. He became a witness of the living God immediately. When we come to Christ, we need to become that witness of what God's done in our own lives. And that's what Nebuchadnezzar did. And we see that he had heard God's truth and he had repeated opportunities to turn from what pride and arrogance. Oh, never mind. We'll just go with what is on my mind right here. In this first part, we see that he gives glory to God, and he writes it. And then in verse 4, we see him writing, "I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in my house and flourishing in my palace." I was at rest in my house, and I was flourishing in my palace. And so we see that he was there in a place where he was content. He had everything. This all happened after successful military campaigns were behind him. With no more nations and tribes to conquer, the king was relaxing in his palace in the luxuries of a conquering monarch. And so we see that there he was resting in it. And yet he was at rest and flourishing at his palace. He was like the Laodiceans of today that are recorded in chapter 13, verse 17, or Revelation 3:17. The Laodiceans of our day who say, "I am rich and increased with goods and I have need of nothing," and they do not know that they are poor and naked. He was poor and naked and didn't even know it. And so God sent him a dream. He was trusting in his riches. In 1 Timothy 6:17, command those who are rich in the present age not to be haughty nor to trust in uncertain riches. Note that before the dream, he was at rest. He was at a false security. And he was so afraid, he sent for the wise guys to come. So God sends him this dream. Okay, God sends us this dream, and he was afraid. So who did he go to? Oh, the trusted ones, the wise guys. oh, come on, Chaldeans, come on, you guys, tell me what this dream means. But then it goes on and it says, but at last Daniel came before me. You notice that he calls him Daniel? He doesn't call him. He notes that the name Belteshazzar was the name of one of his gods, but he calls him Daniel because he knows that there is something that that name means, that he is a servant of his God. And he says, in him is the spirit of the holy God. And I told him the dream, and I told him all about the dream. I know that the spirit of the holy God is in you, and no secret troubles you. Explain to me the visions of my dream and I have, and its interpretation. And so here we are. He's giving the dream to him. He's not asking him to come up with it. He's giving him the whole dream. In his vision, there was this whole tree that came out, and it was flourished, and it covered everything. And there are numerous times in scriptures illustrations of a tree representing a man or a nation or both as a picture of an earthly kingdom. The blessed man shall be like a tree planted by the water in Psalm 1:3. The wicked man of great power is like a green bay tree, Psalm 37. David said, I'm like a green olive tree in the house of God, Psalm 52. The psalmist, the righteous, shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like the cedar in Lebanon, Psalm 92. In Ezekiel 31, 3 through 18, Assyria is likened to a mighty cedar. The mustard tree in Matthew 13, 31, 32 represents Christendom today. The olive tree represents both Israel and the Gentiles, Romans 11. And you notice as you went through this that it changed from the it to the he. So we know that this is talking about Nebuchadnezzar at this particular time. But you knew that because you were studying in your homework. So, not your homework, is it? What is it? It's Bible study. It's Bible study, and you're learning. So let his heart, verse 16, let his heart be changed from that of a man. Let him be given the heart of a beast, and let seven times, that is 7 years, pass over him. Verse 17, this decision is by the decree of the watchers. Who are the watchers? They are the angels. They are the same angels that brought other things upon other people in other places in the Old Testament. And the sentence by the word of the holy ones. So there was a court case going on. A decision was made on behalf of Nebuchadnezzar, a decree was put forth, and the sentence was going to be carried out. So in order, this is the reason why all of this happened, in order that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, gives it to whomever he will. If you're not happy with who's in power, it's God's fault. So remember that when you are praying for our president, when you are praying for the people that are in leadership over us. You do not have to like the people that are in leadership over us. But remember that God has placed them there. And sometimes I think we deserve some of the things that are going on in our life because of the way that our country has gone in such a way against the Lord and against his ways. And so, and sets over it the lowest of men. And so he talks about the dream that he had, the purpose for Nebuchadnezzar, that he would know the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, gives it to whomever he will, and sets over it the lowest of men. In this dream, he begins to tell Daniel about this dream. Victor Hugo wrote a bit of an interesting history concerning Napoleon and the Battle of Waterloo. On the morning of the Battle of Waterloo, Napoleon stood gazing upon the field of battle as he described to his commanding officer his strategy for that day's campaign. We will put the infantry here, the cavalry there, and the artillery here. At the end of the day, England will be at the feet of France, and Wellington will be prisoner of Napoleon. Yay! But after a pause, the commanding officer said, but we must not forget that man proposes but God disposes. With arrogant pride, and these are the words of Hugo, the little dictator, stretched his body to full height and replied, "I want you to understand, sir, that Napoleon proposes and Napoleon disposes." Hugo went on to write, "From that moment, Waterloo was lost. For God sent rain and hail so that the troops of Napoleon could not maneuver as he had planned, and on the night of battle, it was Napoleon who was prisoner of Wellington, and France was at the feet of England. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble," James 4:6. 1 Peter 5:6 says, "Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." And so in verses 18 through 26, Daniel learns of this dream. And you know what? I think along with this, as we just get into this telling about this dream, I think that Daniel has been his advisor for over 30 years at this time. I think Daniel cared about Nebuchadnezzar. I think he was concerned about him. He wanted the best for Nebuchadnezzar. And we can see it in here as we go through this interpretation. Then Daniel's name in verse 19, Daniel's name who was, we don't have to go through all of that, answered and said, "My Lord, may the dream concern those who hate you and its interpretation concern your enemies." He knew the interpretation of the dream. I think that Nebuchadnezzar knew the interpretation of the dream, quite honestly. I think that Nebuchadnezzar knew the interpretation. I think that the other wise guys knew the interpretation, but didn't have the courage to say it. And here we see the care that Daniel has for him when he says, I wish that it was coming on your enemies. I wish that it were coming on your enemies and not on you. And so it goes on to say that the tree that you saw, which grew and became strong, whose height reached the heavens, and the leaves and the fruit and everything that was under it, and the beast of the field and all that, the birds of the heaven, it is you, O king, who have grown and become strong, for your greatness has grown and riches to the heavens, and your dominion to the end of the earth. Sounds a little bit familiar about us too, right? We were flourishing. We were doing great things. And inasmuch as the king saw a watcher, that is the angels, that could be a holy one, that could be a whole other study. We could do a whole study, go to the side on the study of angels and how they work and how they get there and what their job is and all that sort of thing. But we're not going to go there because we're going to stay in this chapter. All the angels coming down from heaven and saying, "Chop down the tree, destroy it, but leave its stump and its roots in the earth, but leave it bound. Leave it bound with a band of iron and bronze in the tender grass of the field, and the wet, it'll be wet with the dew and all of that, and the beasts of the field. And it's going to be seven times are going to pass over. That is 7 years. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king. They shall drive you from men. Your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make you eat grass like oxen. They shall wet you with the dew of heaven, and 7 years shall pass over you until you know that God is God." All these things, who is the they? Did you ask that question as you went through it? Who is the they? It's either the angels of verse 7 or 17, or it's demons. I prefer to say that it's my personal belief that it was the angels of 17, because they led him out. They led him out, and it said that this is what's going to happen. And so the angels made that sentence on him, and that's my personal opinion. I can't back it up with anything. It's just my personal opinion. But how long is he going to be there? He's going to be there for 7 years, till you know that the Most High God rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses. And inasmuch as they gave the command to leave the stump and the roots of the tree, your kingdom shall be assured to you. So after you come to know that heaven rules, your kingdom, you're not going to lose your kingdom, but you're going to go through a lot of stuff. But here is his call to repentance. Daniel is calling him to repentance at this particular point. In verse 27, O king, let my advice be acceptable to you. Break off your sins by being righteous and your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. Perhaps there may be a lengthening of your prosperity. Perhaps. Humble yourself. Will you humble yourself? True repentance shows. It shows a change in character. It shows through our actions. It shows through our speech. We act with grace. True repentance is found in Micah 6:8. He has shown thee, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Humble yourself or be humbled by God. And I'll tell you, I would rather humble myself than have to be humbled by God, because I've seen the evidence of what happens with all of that. And in verse 28, it says, all this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar, just as God said it would. It all came on King Nebuchadnezzar at the end of 12 months. He had 12 months to make that decision. He had 12 months, a whole year to make a decision. How many people do you know who have had 30 years, who have 40 years, who have had 70 years to make that decision to live for the Lord? But 1 year, God gave him 1 year to make up his mind. So he's walking around the palace, and the king spoke, is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty? That pride comes through. That pride comes through so vividly. God is patient for sure, but Proverbs 6, 16 and 17 says, these six things the Lord hates, yes, seven, are an abomination. I'm only going to read one to you, a proud look. Number one is a proud look. Setting aside our proud hearts, our pride. Pride comes before the fall, and that is literal. And what happens? Then the voice comes. And this is not a TV show. The voice comes. And what does the voice say? It fell from heaven. That's enough to set you off, isn't it? To hear a voice from him. Oh my goodness, let's listen to that. King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you. The kingdom has departed from you. And he goes over again that they're going to take you out, all of the stuff that was said before, until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses. And that very hour, at that very hour, the word was fulfilled concerning Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men. He ate grass like oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven, like his hair had grown like eagle's feathers, his nails like bird's claws. And at the end of the time, the 7 years, we'll see what happened. But what happened at this particular time? He developed a mental illness. Today, we have a name for everything. Have you noticed? And some of it is sin that we make into a syndrome. Right? Do you know what I'm talking about? Some of those sins that we know that they're sin, but it's, you know, what is it? I can't think of the one that's, if you're a sex addict, you have sex addiction syndrome or something like that. You know, everything is a syndrome. We got to put a name to everything. But what he has on this is, or what we have on this, it's called lycanthropy. Lycanthropy, which is a rare psychiatric syndrome that involves a delusion that the affected person can transform into, has transformed into or is an animal. They believe that they're an animal. I had a friend of mine who took drugs one day and years and years ago, and he really believed that he was a fish. And he went swimming out in the ocean and kept swimming and swimming and swimming out until he had to be rescued by someone. And thankfully, he was rescued. He is no longer with us at all anymore. But at that point, it was drug-induced, but it's the same situation. He thought he had a delusion of being something that he was not. And you know, so many times we have a delusion of things that we are not. And we need to stop listening to those voices. Stop listening to those voices who tell you that you are not a child of God. If you have given your heart to Christ, if you have given your life to Christ, you are a child of the living King. Don't let anybody argue you out of that. If there is evidence in your life of repentance, which means you walk in grace, you walk in mercy, you walk in love, you'll have slip-ups, yes. But if you are more on the grace side, don't let anyone anywhere in, don't let yourself in your mind tell you otherwise. The word of God is true. He said, if you gave your heart to him, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We became a new person when we accepted Christ. We have a new body. We have a new, I wish I had a new outward body. I wish I had a new mind. He renews our mind day by day. Mine's wearing out. Darn. Why is this happening to me? But so he was there for that 7 years. And what happened? What happened? In verse 34, what happened was repentance. What happened in verse 34 is repentance. He looked up. You know, if you're walking on all fours, if you're crawling around, you are not looking up. You're always looking down. If you think you're something that you're not, you're always looking down. He looked up. He looked up. He lifted up his eyes to heaven, and his understanding returned to him. In at that 7 year time, just as it was stated. And what did he do? He immediately, I blessed the Most High, and I praised and I honored him who lives forever. I praised and I honored him who lives forever. He received forgiveness because he had shown that evidence of repentance. How is it that someone like Nebuchadnezzar can be changed like that? Because we have forgiveness of our sins for Nebuchadnezzar and for me and for you and for anybody else, no matter what their situation in life. If their life has been given over to God, Corrie Ten Boom says, there is no pit so deep that God's grace is not deeper still. He casts our sins into the deepest depths of the sea and posts a sign saying, no fishing. But how many of us go fishing in there? And we grab back that thing. And we get involved in that thing again. And what do we do with it? If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It goes back into the sea. And we abide by that sign that says no fishing. Don't go back for it at any time. God saves. No one is beyond his reach, no matter what office they hold. His kingdom, for his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can restrain his hand or say to him, what have you done? How many times have we said that to God, though? Have you ever, well, maybe you didn't. What have you done? Why is this happening to me? What have you done? I know it's you. Why are you blessing me like this? What have you done? But God is in complete control. And the moment that he realized that God was in control of his life, He got his kingdom back. Verse 36, at the same time, my reason returned to me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and splendor returned to me. My counselors and nobles resorted to me. I was restored. And by the way, that's the title of your luncheon that's coming up, is Restored. So just saying, you know, you want to be a part of that. Restored to my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all of whose works are truth and his ways justice, and those who walk in pride he is able to put down. He had found the way back home. It is a picture of repentance. It is a picture of salvation. Nebuchadnezzar truly repented and would go on to rule for one more year. Turn with me, if you would, to Jeremiah 9. In Jeremiah 9, 23, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. When it's all been said and done, Nebuchadnezzar got one more year. The thief on the cross got maybe one more hour. Let's finish well. Pastor Allen, over the weekend, hearing the things of his faithfulness, of his faithfulness to the Lord, his faithfulness to pray, his faithfulness to the people, he's finishing well. When it's all been said and done, I want to finish well. I don't want to waste any time before that. I want to hear the Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Yes. Nebuchadnezzar spent his whole life in pride. His whole life was given over to selfishness. His whole life was given over to arrogance. His whole life was given over to what he could get and what he could have. But the last year of his life, he invested in the knowledge that the Most High God rules. When it's all been said and done. But you know, this whole chapter, yes, it's about his salvation. It's about his repentance. It's about his getting back everything and getting more than he had started with. But in addition to the history of this book, in addition to all of the things that are in here that are of use for us today, there's something prophetic, because this whole book is prophetic. In the 7 weeks, along with the history, the picture was presented showing the course of history from Babylon to the last Gentile world power, which will be overthrown when the Lord Jesus Christ returns to the earth to set up his everlasting kingdom. And the main purpose of Daniel is to present the times of the Gentiles, tracing the course of human government from the days of the kingdom of Babylon to our Lord's second coming. The 7 years of Nebuchadnezzar's madness, or of his craziness, or his syndrome, trying to use the right words here, represents those 7 years of tribulation that we will go through. And there will be deliverance for the Jews, because that last part, that after that tribulation and Jesus coming back, the Messiah coming back, that's going to be for the Jews. But God is coming for his church. Jesus is coming for his church. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 4, because I know that there are some people, you may never have heard this before. You may never have heard of the rapture of the church. You may not have been a part of that kind of teaching in the early days of Calvary Chapel. 1 Thessalonians chapter, let's start with chapter 5. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do. Let us pay attention to what's going on around us, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith, substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, and love, and as a helmet of salvation, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you are also doing. Go over to chapter 4, starting with verse 15. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up. We shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. There is coming a day at any second, where Jesus will say, come up here. It's time to leave. It says that we will be changed in the twinkling of an eye. We will be different. How will that look like? How will it look when a bunch of people disappear? And all of those things that do we leave our clothes behind us? I don't know. How is that going to be? You know, we have all our ideas of how that might be. But there will come a time when Jesus says, I'm coming back for my church. And I will say, come on up here. When you hear that trumpet sound, when you look at those cloudy skies today, that we have all kinds of clouds to look at. But there's storm clouds out there. And it's going to get stormy and it's going to get hard. But you know what? We don't go through the tribulation. It says right here, we are not appointed unto his wrath. And that is his wrath that will be poured out in the last days when the Antichrist comes and sets up his kingdom right there in Jerusalem. Comfort one another with these words. Know that that time is not appointed unto us. God's wrath is not upon us, that we have his grace. And Lord Jesus, we thank you, Father, for your presence. We thank you, Lord, that for your goodness and your grace and your... Thank you, Lord, for all you're doing, Lord. Thank you for what you continue to do. We pray, Father, for your... I know that you've given us all we need to accomplish whatever you've called us to do, and we thank you, Lord, and we praise you, and we bless you. As these ladies get into their small groups, I pray, Father, that they would, as they love one another, as they pray for one another, as they give grace to one another, as they strengthen one another, Lord, encourage one another, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus, we worship you.
Thank you for listening to this Heart to Heart Women's Bible Study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson and will join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call our office at 714-891-9495.
Giving up, letting go, standing